And here we are with the third lap of the Sideways podcast with my co-host, Scotty Taylor. It's a big week. We're coming into the Springfield Mile doubleheader. Scotty, what are you thinking about this weekend coming up?
I'm thinking about how much I wish I was coming back to Springfield. We got to go for the first time last year and experience the mile, and that was a blast. I'm definitely going to be having a little bit of FOMO, but excited to see what we've got going on coming into this weekend. I know you're going up for the short track and then taking in the mile as well. So you got a full weekend ahead, but definitely going to miss being up there, but World of Outlaws commitments. We're going to one of my favorite tracks this weekend for those broadcasts. So I'm excited to be part of that team, but we'll be following along before I go on the air.
I guess before we dive too deep into Springfield Mile, do you have a good week? I just got off the boat. We were fishing. I don't really like fishing that much, but I do like chopping it up with the boys. So spent the morning out fishing. We got literally half a mile away from my buddy's house. We were dropping the fishing boat off and just had a blowout of a tire. No spare, of course. So we limped that thing home. We had the neighbors all staring at us, and now we're here recording lap three. How was your week?
It's pretty good. Less eventful than that. Just, I'm really happy to, I've been pretty lazy this summer, I'll be honest. When the temperature gets above like 85 degrees, I don't want to be outside ever, but decided to man up and go on some runs again and get back in shape. You know, I got to get my body right if I'm going to be at the, in New York City and amongst all the other beautiful people up there. If I want to get noticed, I got to be looking sexy. So, trying to get my New York body ready and going up for the U.S. Open tennis tournament on Monday and Tuesday this coming week. Things are going well. No complaints on this end. Just a lot of excitement. And yeah, man, I'm happy to be here chatting with you and keeping this bad boy rolling. I feel like episode two, we were firing off and things are going well so far through laps one and two. So hopefully we can maintain the pace.
Yeah, the interview with Brad was great. I really enjoyed that talk. He's got so much information, so that was super fun. This week, no guests, just us talking about the Springfield Mile, which two races, a lot of storylines coming into it. That's more than enough. So you want to kick this thing off with the singles class?
Yeah, when you look at the singles class, you know, the past 2 years, Cody Copp's been able to lock up his championship with time to spare. So coming into Springfield, you know, last year he was leading the points by about this much coming into the finale at Springfield, which was the doubleheader there. Obviously, this year we have three rounds, so guys have a little more time to try to chop into that lead. But, you know, I look at your big three, your Cody, Chase, and Tom, and it would not surprise me one bit for Cody to lock this thing up. Maybe not on day one, but I feel like by the end of the weekend, Cody's going to be checking off another one of his items on his to-do list, and he'll be a three-time singles champion. And that's not to take anything away. I think it's going to be a super competitive weekend, but I just think our singles championship and the way Cody's been riding this year, when you look back at Cody's interview in Daytona, I can't remember if it was after a heat race or if it was after a main event, but he mentioned how much more comfortable he felt on these bikes, and he felt like they were better than even his Red Bull bikes, which was a scary thought back then. And then you look at the year that he's put together, his numbers are insane. Like, his average finish, again, he's only been off the podium one time this year. His average finish is 1.77. That's mind-blowing.
That's an amazing average finish. I didn't know that. I'm actually looking at it right now, and there's a lot of ones and twos across the board. Yeah. Yeah, like you mentioned, he said in Daytona about how this bike is even better than his Red Bull bike. This bike is better in a way that they don't have restrictions on what they can do. There's no concern of factory KTM saying that we have to make the bike reliable, so let's keep it conservative rather than, you know, taking a little bit of a gamble and, in that sense, getting a little bit more power. But so now with the Wally Brown package, he won last year on a Red Bull KTM, and they say that this bike's even faster. At DeCoin, he was able to come from so far back and make his way all the way up to the lead group, which I didn't see that as a big issue because you can make up so much time in that first corner with it being so wide.
Yeah,
winning it on the first day, but taking the momentum he gets from the first day and potentially getting a win like he did last year at Springfield Mile 1, there's a good chance that he could take this thing home on day two, and that always feels so good, being able to race the final round without having to worry about a championship.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about, like, Cody pulled it out on day one last year. You know, his main title rivals, I feel like that's going to be his main competition when we go to Springfield. Chase Sadoff is unbeaten in Illinois in AFT racing this year. He won DuCoin and Peoria back-to-back, so holding it down for the home state, the Hillsboro Hero. Let's just throw another random nickname at Chase since he's gotten so many different ones this year. So Chase is, you know, he's gotten over that hurdle of being so close on miles last year and came out on top in DuCoin. And Chase was on a mission in DuCoin. Like, he just looked like he was riding so hard, but at the same time, just looked so comfortable and so fast on that bike. And I feel like he can parlay that into another really strong result at Springfield. And If he plays the strategy right, you know, those bikes have been super fast. I wouldn't put it past Chase to pick up another win. Obviously doesn't want to have what happened last year where, you know, he came up just short. Tom Drain going to be looking to bounce back from probably a really disappointing DuQuoin. Tom's been sort of the guy that we looked at to be the favorite on every mile that we go to because of how impressive he was last year and how strong he was on those Essence and Yamahas. Getting sort of shuffled wide in DuQuoin and having to come back and settle for a fourth place finish. He's going to be out for redemption too. These three guys, you know, we can't say enough just how impressive they've been all year and how they've been the real standard bearers of the class. So, yeah, when you look at Tom and Chase, they're only 6 points separating them for second in points. And while nobody wants to be the bridesmaid to Cody again, how do you see that battle playing out through these next two rounds in Springfield?
It's going to be very tough. I think they're pretty even between Tom and Chase and even Cody. Trent Lowe, all those guys are really even when it comes to the mile, especially at Springfield, because the pack, you know, there's going to be, I think last year on day two, there was 9 guys that finished in that front pack. And it does come down to a bit of luck on the last lap and trying to position yourself in the right spot and how strong your bike is. And you can have a pretty strong strategy coming off of 4 that you can try to utilize, but it does have luck involved. And between Chase and Tom, there's definitely a financial bonus between getting second or third. That's going to be a huge fight between the two of them. Coming off of DuQuoin, Chase Sadoff is able to grab that last win. And Tom Drain was in a bit of a, not a slump there, but you would have not expected him to be off the podium in DuQuoin. So he was able to win here at Springfield Mile 2 last year, I believe it was. And he was so, so fired up about that. So I think he's going to be coming in here all guns swinging. You know, he's had a couple weeks off since Sturgis. And
how would you rate Tom's year this year versus last year? So when you look at where he was in the points last year with 3 rounds to go versus where he is this year with 3 rounds to go, it's about the same. But for me, I feel like Tom has had a significant improvement and jump this year. He's been incredibly impressive across the board. You know, last year, not ideal results on short tracks, but again, he was just getting comfortable on those Essence and bikes. And this year he came out, he's got 2 short track wins. He's been, you know, he got that redemption at Lima after finishing second to Cody the past couple years. He's looked so much more, I guess, polished maybe, which of course that'll happen the more time you spend on a bike and with the team. But how would you rate Tom's second year second full year in the singles class?
I think we can start with Tom would have an additional 18 points on what he has now if he didn't get knocked down at Daytona 1. That coincidentally was with Chase Sadoff there. And so Tom would have like a 12 or 13 point lead over what Chase has right now. So that could play into the championship pretty big. But I think his year was good. Like, that's interesting how you brought it up with him being in about the same spot. I would have thought he would have been closer with Cody in the championship, but Cody's consistency where Tom at times, you know, he's got a 6th place in that 15th place from Daytona. Cody doesn't have anything off the podium except for 1 finish, which is 4th at Ventura. You cannot beat a championship guy when he's got 6 wins like that. You know, Tom has 4 wins, which is amazing, but you're going up against someone who's had an even more amazing year.
So you mentioned Trent Lowe earlier. Trent obviously was right there in the mix, was fighting for the lead with that group before the bike let go on him with a couple laps to go. Those Turner bikes have been strong on miles before. Trent's won a mile before. He got the red mile victory last year. Where do you see the Turner bike stacking up with this group? You know, Evan Renshaw had a pretty strong run earlier in DuQuoin before him and Santero and Travis Pettin sort of slipped back, you know, about midway through that race and had to sort of battle amongst themselves. So where do you see the Turner bike slotting in here on the mile?
Trent was doing really good, like you said, at DuQuoin before that thing let go with a few laps left. It might have been the last lap. I'm not sure there. But the Turner bikes are really fast. I think Chase Sadoff's bike is a bit better this year. Brian Bigelow was able to take everything that he learned over that time with the Turner team and obviously make it a little bit better now. Chase's bike is, it won DuQuoin. It's one of the strongest ones out there. They're all pretty similar. The biggest difference going into Springfield as far as bike-wise is just the track in DuQuoin's more of a rider's track where, you know, skill in reading the lines and where to go takes more of an effect than where at Springfield. It's just kind of like you hold the thing wide open and you make sure you stay in the draft and don't slip off the groove, because a lot of the times there at Springfield, you're all going to be locked down around the bottom of the racetrack. And if not, then it's still just the grip level there. It's a lot easier to see, and it's a daytime race, and the dirt is easy to read, at least in my opinion. So DuQuoin's hard to compare to what we've got here with Springfield, and Springfield definitely shows a bike that's a little bit faster. But I think at Springfield, these guys are pretty much holding the thing wide open all the way around in the 450s.
With mile racing, I kind of wanted to get your thought here as we'll kind of take a pause on the preview side. When with these races, they're obviously longer. Where do you start like for the first part of the race? Are you more of just in sort of settle in survival mode, try to stay with the pack? Or are you working strategy from lap one all the way through? Because I feel like a lot of riders seem to just try to stay connected and see how the race plays out, and then they'll implement their strategy. In the last few laps, I guess, you know, different variables happen. How the race comes to you will shake everything up every lap. But I'm just kind of curious how you sort of approach Springfield when you were racing.
It depends what class you're in. If you're in the singles class, there's not any real strategy until I'd say about five laps to go. You just do anything you can to stay in that lead group draft. You can't break away. I don't think you could really break away just because of the way that they're wide open the whole way around, or almost all of it, and the draft's really strong there. So in these 450s are all so comparable now, whereas in the twins class, we've seen at times where Jared Meese has broken away in the past few years, Jeffrey Carver broke away. So if you can do a big sprint right off the start, you can get away. But if you're in a group of, say, like four or five guys battling for the win, about five laps to go, the whole race, you're kind of thinking about it. You're seeing where your bike's stronger than the other guys, if you're able to get a good run off the corner. If there's times where you know you can't draft them, so then you kind of got to start thinking of what you're going to do to disrupt them going into the corner. Whereas if your bike's really strong and you know you can draft into the line, it's easy sailing there. You just got to make sure that you're in the exact right amount of distance coming off the corner. If you're too close, you can kind of get caught up when they make their move, whether they swerve left or right. So you want to make sure you have the right distance there. And you really got to be locked in mentally there, because that swing that they do, it can catch you off guard, whether they go left or right. And you have to react very quickly. And if you're planning on going right and they swerve to the right, it gets tough. I've had a scenario before where I wanted to go left, but I ended up getting too good of a run off the final corner and I had to go to the right. And I lost the race because of that. Fortunately, in the singles class, I always tried to lead off of four because I knew how strong my bike was. And I was able to, I always had a really good plan coming to the finish line of where I wanted to be. Yeah, I'd say the whole race, you're really thinking about it. Whereas in the final five laps, you need to start executing. And you need to make sure that if you want to be in second coming off of four, that you're every lap trying to be in second. And with a few laps left, you might still take the lead, but it's also situational too. You can have, you know, the perfect plan and it could all go to heck. You might get too good a run down the back stretch where you have to take the lead going off of four. So then you quickly figure out how you need to come off of four to not block them, but you need to do a swerve move, not a jerk swerve move, but a slow swerve move where hopefully you can keep them behind you somehow. It's tricky. It's also situational, and there's so many variables with your bike, but the singles class is definitely a lot harder to make a game plan. It's just kind of, you know, roll your dice and hope that your bike's strong and you get in a perfect position.
So last year with the singles class, one thing that stood out to me was Declan Bender's weekend in Springfield that really kind of, it helped propel him to that Rookie of the Year award. Is there anybody that you see in the singles field that could be another surprise and maybe sneak up there in the lead pack and potentially be shaken up amongst the guys that we've seen in this leading group all season long? You know, Bagger DuCoin, again, I hate to keep calling back to it, different track, but Evan Kelleher got up there and got his career best finish, and that was a real eye-opening performance for Kelleher to get that top five there in DuCoin. Do you see any other riders throughout the singles grid that can maybe either through what you saw at them last year or how they've been this year, do you see anybody else getting up there and potentially raising some eyebrows and carrying additional momentum through the end of the year?
The two that immediately come to my head would be James Ott and Taryn Sintero. James, he's had a pretty, I'd say, consistent year with where he is usually. You know, I think his average finish right now has got to be somewhere around 7th, 8th. He's got a lot of those on the board. And at DuCoin, he was able to get that third place, just really good positioning, coming to the line there, really good drafting. He's a little guy, so those all work in his advantage. And then Taryn Sintero, he got a 6th at DuCoin. He's a tall guy. He's had some time, though, to be able to get that bike rebuilt, and he talked about it with us a few weeks ago. And he's coming off such a hot streak right now that he's going to have really good confidence. But those guys just have to make sure that they figure out a way to stick with that lead draft. They got to qualify good and have a good heat race finish to make sure that they're in that, you know, it could be five guys, it could be nine guys coming to the line together. So, yeah, just they got to execute really good laps. But I would say James and Taren are my two picks to be in the spoilers group of the leaders for the singles.
That's interesting you see that. Those are two guys I talked about on the latest flashback video that I did. James, before he got hurt, he was riding, you talked about momentum. He had four of five races where he was inside the top five. And then one thing about Taren's season is that from Texas until now, with the exception of Lima, he's been in the top 10 every single race. You know, he had the crash at Lima, but Taren's really put together a really solid, consistent year. And like you said, he's been riding quite a wave of momentum with how Peoria went, and then to continue to parlay that into success, getting the first podium in the Sturgis TT, and how confident he feels with their mile package coming forward. He was, again, up there in the mix with those riders in DuQuoin, and then had a little mistake and sort of separated that front five from everybody else. But with you mentioning how Springfield can lend itself to a much larger pack of riders, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those guys play their strategy. And James looked so good at DuQuoin and didn't have the best Springfield last year, but if he's, you know, back to 100%, I hope he got hurt out there at Sturgis Bike Week, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be running Springfield this weekend. As far as I know, I haven't seen anything that would contradict that. So yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. I don't see anybody else down through the pack that's going to potentially shake this up. I mean, I would love to see somebody like Trent or James get a win before the year's over. James still chasing that first singles win, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, Trent looking to bounce back from what's been a real struggle. He was having quite a good run of results from Texas up until DuQuoin. And then since that DNF in DuQuoin, he hasn't been inside the top five at any race.
Also, too, yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. I think those two guys are going to be the ones that can be up in that group. But any other person that signs up that day could be up there. All it takes is you need to have experience on a mile to know how to play the draft and how to keep up and not lose that lead group. But if you have a really fast bike at Springfield, you can be up in there and you'll be able to learn the experience at the end of the race. You might struggle a little bit with positioning and how you want to come to the line every lap, but a fast bike will play massively. So anyone that signs up that day could be up there and yeah, just try to learn your experience, get good qualifying heat race and try to just position yourself to learn. Even if you sit at the back of that front group, you're going to be watching and learning. And then all it takes is one four rider draft and you're immediately leading the thing. So it's always interesting too, because there's no real way to, like, a lot of the times you might have two riders that try to do hand signals and stuff to get away and try to just kind of form a little group, but it's so tough in the singles class. The bikes are just, like I said, so even and everyone's kind of frantically going at it, whereas instead of like sitting in line and trying to pull away and doing single drafts towards the end of the straightaway to gain some speed and get the people away, it's just a little bit of madness. It's fun to watch. It's amazing to watch. I cannot wait to sit in the grandstands and watch this, but yeah, it's just madness. So how about we hop right into the twins class, Scotty? Let's see what's going on there.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've got quite a championship battle coming into Springfield now with the Jared Mees disqualification. But even with that, I still feel like Jared is the favorite to take home his record-breaking 10th championship, and that's not to take anything away from Pryor or Brandon Robinson. But Jared has never finished worse than second on an Indy on a mile. And, you know, he's at Springfield, he's picked up five wins on that Indian. He went 1-2 last year. Pryor was the only one to beat him. You know, Jared's going to be wanting to sort of put that negativity behind him from Sturgis. He wasn't really stoked on racing that anyway, but now it's a track that he's had a lot of success at. It's an event that he promotes, and I feel like Jared's going to try to really grab hold of this championship and put a real hurting on his rivals as we leave Illinois.
So yeah, going into Springfield, like you said, Jared has never finished worse than second on a mile, which is a crazy statistic. He's become the mile master in a way. It sort of switched from Brian Smith to Jared Mees, and always such a contender on the miles, so good at DuQuoin, was able to win that, so smart. He's just got so much knowledge. him and Brandon Robinson, I guess, would have the most experience out of all of them. Last year, Breyer was able to get the best of Jared. It kind of got hectic, like I talked about earlier, with coming out of four, trying to get the right positioning, and how both of them went really wide towards the wall, and that makes a hard swing because they both started swinging left there. It's going to be good. Jared Meese, he's going to be extra fired up from the Sturgis TT disqualification. I don't see him finishing worse than second or third.
Yeah, and I guess I do need to correct myself. There was that one DNF that Jared had at the Minnesota Mile. But when it comes to Springfield, he's just been so dominant there. And what do you think, since these sort of restrictions have come into place, you know, Jared's the only Indian that seemed to be consistently toward the front every mile race. You know, Brandon Robinson has shown speed, but his last mile win was at OKC in 2021. And he's been in the mix, but never been able to get across the line first. What, you know, is, I mean, Kenny Tolbert is an absolute legend, Mount Rushmore tuner. But what is it about Jared's team that you feel like has separated that Indian from the rest of the Indian team since these restrictions have sort of taken hold? Because Jared's won 6 of the 9 miles since 2022.
I would say Kenny Tolbert, just like you said. I think that Kenny's able to figure it out and get the best setup engine-wise. Jimmy Woods there to do suspension, but I just think they've been able to figure something out inside of that Indian where even after the restrictions came out, his bike was noticeably faster than all the rest of the Indians immediately, whereas now a lot of the Indians were able to kind of catch up engine-wise. Early on, Jared was the only rider that had an Indian that was as strong as the Estensen Yamahas at that point in the KTMs. So, yeah, I would just say they're really good and quick at figuring it out. I'm not sure if they had extra help from SNS or Indian itself, but Kenny got that thing running good. And another advantage that Jared has is he's small. He is short, way shorter than Brandon Robinson, where Brandon would be the closest competitor on the Indian. I just think that it comes down to Kenny Tolbert and what he was able to do. And that's not taking anything away from Ben Evans, who's an amazing tuner as well, working on Brandon Robinson's engine. It's just Kenny Tolbert's a legend. He's all time.
I would argue that Kenny Tolbert is the best tuner in the history of our sport. And I know you can have the back and forth between he and Werner and some others, but just for what Kenny's been able to do with various machines and various riders, Kenny's just, I feel like he's the best of the best. With Brandon and Breyer, both Breyer on a KTM on the mile, you know, his first run at it was a 7th place finish, but ever since then he's been inside the top four. He's got 3 podiums. He went 2-1 last year at Springfield. You mentioned probably him being the guy most likely to take one of these away from Jared up there in Springfield. And he was, throughout the main events, Breyer was really the only rider that seemed to be able to have anything for Jared in an entire 25 lap or however many laps it ended up being, you know, time frame and everything. But Breyer was the only one that seemed to really be able to hang with Jared for the longevity of the races last year. Brandon sort of dropped off from those two on day one, and in day two there was a, you know, Breyer and Jared separated themselves as well. Do you see this being one of those things where, like, you know, Springfield, we've had so much pack racing in the past, but in recent years it hasn't been the same in the twins class. Do you see this being another Springfield mile where a couple of guys work together and try to break away? Do you feel like there's a pack that can stay together? I just don't know. I don't know that we're going to get back to pack mile racing in the twins class for quite some time. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Jared checked out or if he and Breyer were able to sort of separate themselves or another combo of two.
I think pack mile, like you said, is tough right now just because of the variability between the bikes so much. And Springfield 2, one thing that is so important to touch on there is the track conditions that day. Like last year between day one and day two, day one was really broken apart and a little bit drier and more slippery. And going through the corners, it was not rough, but it was not a glass smooth Springfield mile. There was, you know, chunks of it missing. Whereas on day two, it was smoother. And sometimes we'll be there where it's unreal hooked up. So it really comes down to what the race day is going to be like with that racetrack. And this week, it's looking like it's really hot. There's excessive heat warnings coming this week in Illinois. So I would have to assume the track's going to be on the drier side. I think Saturday right now, there's a small chance of rain. Whereas on Sunday, it looks good. It all comes down to the track conditions. That, like a few years ago, Jared ran away from everybody when the track was a bit drier. I think coming into the day, it just depends how it is prepped, the amount of moisture that it gets throughout the week. And that leaves a lot for whether you're able to break away or not.
So what does Yamaha do? What does Estenson do?
So in my opinion, I've got an idea, and I haven't heard anything. This is no inside source or nothing. I think Dallas will be there to race. And I'm sure they're calculating it very smartly because he's so young and he's got such a good career ahead of him. But I do think he's going to be able to be there and race. So that is going to be tough. Springfield Mile is a very easy racetrack on the body, though, as far as lower body. It does use a lot of arms. It's tough to get the bike through the corner at times. You're just pushing down on it so much to keep it where you want it and be able to keep on top of the bike. I do think Dallas will be there. I do not know if JD's there. I really hope he is so he can work on that Grand Slam. Obviously, the best team scenario would be for Dallas to win and JD to finish right behind him and Jared Meese to get third or worse to try to get Dallas back into this championship fight with three rounds left. But I don't know what. Last year, Dallas was not on the podium either days at Springfield Mile. It's going to be tough, especially coming off of missing so many races and potentially being still a bit sore and not having the muscle. And I don't even know if he's going to be there. This is all hearsay. But this is just what my opinion is because of he's had a bit of time. He's got metal in the leg, so it is technically strong. And Springfield Mile is a very easy track to race. It's not Lima, or it's not a track where it's going to have big holes that could grab your leg. So, yeah, I think, in my opinion, I would say Dallas will be there, and I'd love to see JD there to try to get that Grand Slam. So how do you think that'll play out with potentially Dallas racing? He is still signed up on the pre-entry list and potentially JD racing. I guess I haven't checked the pre-entry list today, but...
Yeah, at the time of recording this, JD's not on there. Dallas is still pre-entered. It's risky for sure, but flat track racing is risky. Yeah, if Dallas is able to show up, I can't put anything against him because he's put together some of the, I think, the best rides of his career this year. And, you know, in his rookie year, that Estenson Yamaha team, they were able to get the better of Meese on a couple of miles. Jared's gotten the better of everybody but Breyer the last 2 years. But it seems like those Estenson bikes are better throughout on every surface this year. You know, Dallas was close, but just not within striking distance. There in DuCoin, we've touched on numerous times, Springfield's so much different. And if the bikes are better this year, that's going to be interesting. If I were Dallas, I don't know that I would risk it. He's still in the championship hunt mathematically, but it's not kind of on that cusp line. It's being 20 points back with three rounds left. Like you said, if he could win and somebody gets between he and Jared. So, you know, if Dallas wins every race and Jared finishes third every race, then Dallas steals the championship by 1 point, which, I mean, boy, that would be quite a story if that were to happen. But yeah, I feel like if there's any way that Dallas can race, he's definitely going to try. And yeah, it's an interesting point. I never really thought about that with the way you describe Springfield and how it's not as demanding on that. Then maybe it's, you know, I don't doubt that Dallas is going to be in good enough physical shape to be able to last those miles and get everything he can out of that bike. Props to JD. He actually saved Yamaha in the manufacturer standings. Yamaha leads the manufacturer standings by 8 points over Indian. I know Indian's going to want to get back on top there before they go out of the sport.
Yeah, I'm sure Indian wants that manufacturer's championship, and it'll be interesting. 20 points is what Dallas is back right now. That's a lot. It's looking at it that way. Without Jared having a mechanical, that would be a huge gap to crawl out of with the consistency that Jared Meese has and being two Springfield miles where he's unreal and his knowledge is so good. Even, you know, Brandon Robinson's 14 points ahead of Dallas, which that could be tough to make up that. If it was just, say, Dallas and Breyer, where he's only down by 8 points, it's like, yeah, that's doable. That's two race wins, no matter even if Breyer gets second both times. Whereas making up 20 points on the best to ever do it without bad luck would be extremely tough, because even when it was, you know, Jared and Dallas this year at their prime, both of them, it was a knockout fight between the two. It wasn't like Dallas was just going to go out there and win it. So it's going to be tough. I would like to see Dallas out there if he's ready to race. I wish this would have never happened so we could have had a true battle for the championship all year. And I do think there's a part where Dallas is, I think if Dallas came back, he wouldn't miss a beat as far as his speed. And I think his leg would be fine. Like, he wouldn't get tired. I'm sure he's been working out his upper body just like normal, and Springfield's majority all upper body. So I think he'd be fine that way. And I think his speed would be fine. And I think too, he's got extra motivation because he had a huge lead on this championship and then he got hurt. So at least if he can't win the championship, you know, he'd want to come back and show that if nothing would have happened, this, you know, probably would have been his championship to lose. So it'll be interesting to see. But there's always spoilers. Davis Fisher is an amazing mile rider. He did a really good job at DeCoin this year. We've got Jared Vanderkooy coming off of his first podium of the year. And then we've got other dark horses like Brandon Price, where at DeCoin, that Yamaha that he was on was bad fast. And I think at Springfield, it'll show it even more.
Yeah, Price was able to sneak up there and steal a podium at DeCoin. Declan Bender, Davis Fisher, Trevor Brewer, they had that fun little battle there. That little second group there at DeCoin, that'll be fun to watch and see how that Rookie of the Year battle comes down with Trevor and Declan. I think Trevor's probably got a pretty good grasp on that from a points standpoint with Declan having to miss Sturgis. But yeah, every one of those riders that you mentioned, if they can stay up there and in the mix and potentially play spoiler, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it happens. One thing I do want to call back is that let's just say Brandon Robinson and Jared Mees were to split this weekend and that gap stays at six going into Ozark, it would not surprise me for Brandon to potentially steal this championship, or not steal it because he's been in, you know, he's stayed in the title fight all year. Ozark being one of those like shorter clay half mile tracks, obviously Jared's strong there as well, but Brandon has, you know, been really impressive on those as well. So if they can end up, if those two end up splitting Springfield this weekend and Brandon's only back by single digits going into the final round, hang on, because that could be real spicy.
It would be so cool to see it if they were within a scenario where whoever, you know, winner takes all, whoever beats the other one gets the championship. It's always so cool to see that. I remember back Santa Rosa, I think it was 2015, the Brian Smith, Jared Mees battle. It was whoever won was going to get the championship. I think that was the scenario, but it was so dramatic all the way until like two laps to go, or potentially the last lap. It actually, Brad Baker was checked out. We had Brian Smith and Jared Mees battling for the championship, and Brian ended up catching up and passing Jared and winning the thing. So yeah, it'd be great. We know Brandon Robinson is so good. You know, he was able to win the Texas half mile. He's a good half mile rider. Jared's also an amazing car track rider. To have that scenario, I'm sure the biggest thing is Brandon's kicking himself for getting that eighth place finish at DeCoin. That one's going to haunt him. Sturgis, ninth place finish, that was another tough one for him. But to be 6 points back with Jared Mees' disqualification does keep it really, really tight coming in. What place did Brandon get last year at Springfield?
Last year he was third on day one and fifth on day two. Day two, not really great to him. But he was on the podium day one. And Brandon's had one bad, well, not bad, he's, you know, in the top 10, but he's had one less than ideal mile finish each year for the past 3 years. In 2022 and 2023, he was at the back part of the top 10 at Red Mile, and then was right back up in the hunt every other round. So maybe he's gotten his bad luck out of the way and can be a force there at Springfield.
Yeah, I guess we'll see with that. Do you have any other spoilers that come into mind to potentially battle inside of that top five? I think as far as podium goes with me, it's going to be Jared Mees, Briar Bauman, and then in essence in Yamaha, Brandon Robinson, I think, will be up in there too. I think Brandon's just going to have so much extra motivation. He's so close within a championship grasp, and next year with the Indian going away, it's going to be tough for him to immediately just hop back into that championship position with not having testing on, you know, Dallas Daniels, essence in Yamaha. They're losing the traction control, but the bike with the chassis and the engine setup so good. So this is Brandon's best chance for this championship. You know, I'm not saying he couldn't come out there and immediately battle for a championship next year, but it's going up against a huge team with a bike that's been developed for years, whereas on this Indian, he's so good. He flows so well on it. So yeah, this is Brandon's best chance for a championship for a little bit, the foreseeable future. That's going to be extra motivation. He knows that, whether it's subconscious or not. So this is, it's like go or go home time for the championship for at least a little while.
Yep. And all three of these guys, you know, mathematically, you know, all they have to do is win all three rounds into the champion. It's really just that simple.
Yeah. It's just that simple. We could pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Scotty, it's just that simple. We could probably get you out on there a bike and just, you know, we'll duct tape the throttle stuck and then you can probably get her done, huh?
Yeah, let's not get too crazy.
No, but it's going to be great. Just like, I'd rather have it this way. I am a Jared Mees fan. It's going to be cool to see him potentially get the 10th championship and be, have the most championships of all time. I believe, in my opinion, he's the greatest rider of all time. He's so versatile in all disciplines of the sport. But with him having the Sturgis TT disqualification, the championship is right there. Briar Bauman's even got a realistic shot at this thing. So, yeah, let's let him start figuring it out this Saturday and Sunday. And I do want to see a good five-rider draft battle for the win.
That would be a great scenario.
All right, so Scotty, so we just went through the singles and twins. I want your top three for both classes, and you can split up the days if you want, or you can do them together. What do we got?
Okay, this is a fun game. I've been pretty much wrong when I was trying to pick things earlier this year, but yeah, I guess let's see who I can curse. Day one, podium at Springfield in this. Actually, okay, I'll do it this way. I'll go singles class first. Singles class, day one, Chase Sadoff, Tom Drain, Cody Kopp. I know we have a real reach there. Day two, I'm going to go Trent Lowe, Cody Kopp, Tom Drain. And for the twins, day one, I'm going to say, I just because I don't know what's going to happen with Yamaha, I'm going to say day one, I'm going to get crazy just for fun. I'm going to say Briar Bauman, Brandon Robinson, Jared Mees. They're going to be a three-rider breakaway. And Jared's going to finish third. And then day two, Jared Mees is going to get redemption. Ryer's going to get second. Brandon's going to get third. Similar story.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to go for the singles I'll just split up the days randomly. Saturday, I think it's going to be Chase Sadoff, Cody Kopp, Tom Drain. And then Sunday, I'll go Tom Drain, Chase Sadoff, Trent Lowe. I'm going to mix it up. I'm thinking 7-8 guys crossing the line all within, you know, the 10th of a second. And then for the twins class, I'm going to go Brandon Robinson, Jared Mees, Briar Bauman. And for the second day, I'm going to go Jared Mees, Brandon Robinson, Briar Bauman, albeit I don't know if there's going to be JD out there in the Yamahas, so I'll exclude him for now, but I do think that Jared and Brandon will split the wins.
It'll be fun. You know, like you said, as getting to be a fan here, you know, it's unfortunate how Jared's situation played out. It's you know, and even more heartbreaking how Dallas's situation played out, because it really looked like Dallas had this championship under control. And then after his ordeal, it looked like Jared had it under control. But now, like, from a fan standpoint, we've got a knockdown dragout fight all the way to the finish. And that's exciting. That's exciting for the sport. And build storylines. It's going to keep us invested. And one of the hardest things for me with sports like motocross is a lot of times championships are kind of buttoned up toward the end of the year. And it's hard for me to get fully invested in that. So, and that's, you know, part of why I don't even pay attention to NASCAR, is because they have that playoff format. But we get a true champion, no playoffs, none of that nonsense. Whoever's the best throughout the year is going to bring it home. And we've got, you know, 3-4 really mathematically still with a shot at it. So I can't wait.
Yeah, it keeps it tight. The singles class a little bit less interesting just because of Cody's consistency throughout the year doing so amazing there. The twins class with this most recent disqualification, it does make it a lot more exciting for us fans. There is a chance Jared just doubles this weekend and gets another. And even a bigger gap back to second and third place, that's absolutely a realistic possibility. He could run away with the thing. But yeah, let's hope for split wins there. Or the best case scenario, we take it down to Lake of the Ozark short track and have a winner-take-all scenario. That makes for some great racing. It would get very dicey. Going into Springfield, I'm going to be able to actually enjoy the races. I'll watch it from the grandstands. It's cool to see in qualifying to go up to the fence and see how fast they're going. I like to show people that. But being able to watch up high up in the grandstands and see the drafts working down the back straightaway and just hearing the roar throughout the grandstands, there's nothing like it. And then I'm going to bring my camper down. We're going to have a nice little weekend, me and my friends and my girlfriend. So that is something that I used to be able to experience when I was younger before I turned professional. So can't wait for that. And yeah, it's going to be good. We'll get some good racing, some good camping, some good quality time with friends and family. And only if you could be there too, Scotty.
Yeah. Just commitments this year, but hopefully I'll be at the racetrack a little bit more next year. We'll see how it plays out. One just little note, just because I was playing with numbers for just a second. If both days go Briar, Brandon, Jared, we go to the final round at Ozark with Briar leading the points by 2 points over Brandon and Jared. So if that were to play out, that would be a really fun little cap to our year. So we'll see. But yeah, man, have fun. Have fun up there when you head up to Springfield. I wish I was going to be there. I would love to do this whole week with the short track and everything. You know, got to give a quick plug for Steve Nace for their amateur racing that's going on Thursday and the all-star race on Friday at the short track leading up to the miles too. So
yeah, I'm going to be also out there helping one of my best buds try to get her in the main event there on Thursday and Friday. We're struggling right now. We're trying to get this bike to turn. You know, we're working on rider skills a little bit. We're going to see what we can do. There's a chance that I will actually change into his gear before the main event, and I'm going to go out there and run for him. We discussed that, but the ankle's not quite there. I actually asked the girlfriend if I could ride joking, and she's like, absolutely not. But I always loved going to the Springfield short track. It'll be so fun. I will be there watching in attendance. And yeah, let's have a great Springfield Mile weekend. It's like me and my friends were talking about this morning. We're just so excited. It's Sunday now, and we cannot wait to get there Thursday to start camping and watch some great racing.
Have fun, man.
Scotty, I want to say thanks again for coming on for the third lap of the Sideways podcast. This is our first race preview podcast, and I'm a little bit shaky, a little bit nervous today for some reason, but like always, guys, it's a work in progress. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the criticism. Scotty, thanks for spending some time on this Sunday to talk with me about flat track racing.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to do it. Thanks for still tolerating me and bringing me on for these things.
Scotty, I appreciate it, and you guys have a good week. Thanks for listening to the Sideways podcast.